The book of Isaiah, chapter number 5. Book of Isaiah, chapter number 5. We want to say we appreciate Brother Sister Horn. Appreciate them. And appreciate you, all of your hospitality, everything that you, friendship you've shown to us. And Brother Danny came last night to me, and he just stopped and he looked at me, and I didn't know what he was going to say. And he said, "Man," he said, "I just like you." I said, "Yeah, but I just like you too." Amen. 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 And sometimes they say the crowds you run around with influences you. Well, as long as you're living for God, that crowd ain't going to hurt you. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I want to try to preach to you and try to help us this morning, not hold us long, but I want to preach good to you. Isaiah chapter number 5, verse number 7. Isaiah chapter 5, verse number 7. "For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant plant. And he looked for judgment, but behold oppression, for righteousness, but behold a cry." Keep your finger there, if you would, and go to the book of Lamentations, chapter number 2. Lamentations, chapter number 2. Lamentations, chapter number 2. Verse number 18. Lamentations, chapter 2, verse 18. "Their heart cried unto the Lord, O wall of the daughter of Zion, let the tears run down like a river day and night. Give thyself no rest. Let not the apple of thine eye cease. Arise, cry out in the night, in the beginning of the watches. Pour out thine heart like water before the face of the Lord. Lift up thine hands toward him for the life of thy young children that faint for hunger in the top of every street." Amen. You may be seated if you want to. Amen. We remember not too long ago when the Pope was getting ready to die. Amen. How many remember reading about that in the paper and hearing about it on the radio and all the tears and all the cries that people made for the Pope? Well, as far as him being a person, that was a life lost. But people begin to cry and begin to mourn because of him. And I heard on the radio one girl, she told her mother, she said, "Mama," she said, now we can just, she said, "our mediator has gone to heaven and now we can just pray to him." I said, "Oh, dear God, the world we're living in." You know, because the Bible says that we have one mediator between God and man. And that mediator is Christ Jesus. Amen. Oh, yeah. We've heard several different cries. We've experienced a cry of joy. And we've experienced a cry of happiness and excitement, and sorrow, and the cry of surprise and the cry of hurt, and so many different cries that we've heard throughout our little lifespan. And here, looking in chapter 5 of Isaiah, verse 7, the Bible said, the last part said, "He looked for judgment, but behold oppression, for righteousness, but behold a cry." Amen. And I'd like to take that last part and preach from it just a few minutes this morning. Simply on, "But behold a cry." Amen. Behold a cry. And we've heard there's two different cries that a child makes. They've got a cry that they're just whining. They're just wanting mama just kind of to look their way and just kind of wanting a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And there's another cry that seems to get mama's attention. There's a difference in the sound. I mean, they begin to cry and whine and moan and groan a little bit. There's a difference. But when you hear a child that's wailing and weeping and crying with everything in its soul. Mama's attention is turned toward that child. I mean, no matter what comes, no matter what goes, she drops whatever it is and goes to that child. That's just a motherly instinct, yeah. But what about a cry that you and I can make today that would get God's attention and cause God to look our way and cause God to turn to whatever our situation is and come to where we are today? Oh, yeah. We find Jeremiah lamenting Jerusalem's misery because of their backsliding and that because of the things that they have done and forgot God. Oh, yeah. Listen, somebody said, well, if I really don't think that God is the type of God that He would judge and He would come against us. Yes, He will. Yes, He will. He'll come against sin. He'll come against the things that men do wrong. Oh, yeah. Come on here just a while. Verse 19 of Lamentations said that they were to commit themselves unto prayer. Oh, yeah. What was He saying? He was saying, listen, I want you to rise out of the dust. I want you to come out of despondency. I want you to cry in the night instead of ringing the sounds of the watch, instead of ringing the sounds of the time. I want you to cry. Oh, listen here. I would to God that people in this hour, Brother Horn, would cry out to God. Do you realize that it's been the job of the enemy ever since the first cry of man unto God? It's been the devil's potential. His very foremost thing to silence the cry of a man, to silence the cry of the children of God. Why? Because if He could ever silence that cry, then the people of God would quit praying. They would quit seeking God. They would quit crying out to Him. I want you to understand more now than ever, in this life that we live, we must cry to God. There's not a situation that we can come to. There's not a problem that we can face that God cannot come to, that God cannot answer a prayer to. Come on here. I mean, we're serving a great God. We're serving a living, breathing God. You say, preacher, you just don't understand my problem. You just don't understand my situation. Well, you're partly right. I probably don't, but I know a God that's well and able to come to where you are. I'm telling you, it's a day that we must cry out to Him. Somebody said, well, why is it that I'm in the trouble I'm in? I don't know. I cannot answer that, but I can tell you that if we'll cry to Him out of despondency and cry to Him out of despair and cry to Him for His mercy, we're talking about a God that His mercy endureth forever. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Somebody said, oh, I'd love to see my family saved. Cry for them. Cry for them. Oh, God. Make a noise unto God for them. Oh, God. Oh, God. What an hour that we live in, that everything that the enemy does, and I'll say it again, is to silence that cry of a man, to silence the cry of humanity to God. If He could ever get to that place that He could cause us not to cry. If He could ever, you know why some folks are not saved in this hour? Some men and women's children are not saved because mom and daddy quit crying. Mom and daddy quit crying out to God. They said, well, just let the preacher do it. Just let the pastor do it. Oh, come on here. Nobody can pray for them like you can. Nobody can hold them up to God like you can. Oh, you say, preacher, pray for my situation. Pray for my problem. Pray for me. I'm in trouble. Hey, we can do it and we will do it. You can guarantee it. But if you fall on your knees before your God and you cry out to Him yourself and make your supplication to Him, we're talking about a God that'll come off of His throne. He'll come to where you are. He'll come to your problem. He'll come to your situation. And He'll make it better. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, yeah. Been much said this week about becoming lax, becoming idle. Amen. But if we let that fall, if we do not continue to cry, amen. Amen. I understand sometimes we cry because of oppression. We weep because of where we are. We weep because of the problem we go through. Amen. There's just times when the enemy just will not leave us alone. I mean, could you agree this morning? There's times he just will not leave us alone. We pray and we cry and we seek God and seem like Brother Danny. There's times that he just turns it on. I mean, every situation, everything that could go wrong, he tries his best to turn it on and turn up the heat and make it worse. And in this hour, if we're not real careful, we've just kind of woke up of a morning and accepted the fact that we're going to have to fight this devil and we're going to have to be under subjection to him. And we accept the facts that he's going to abuse us. And we accept the fact that he's going to mock us and beat us all day long. But I want you to understand something here. There's a cry that can be made. There's a cry that can be anguished with. There's a cry that can silence all of that. And it's a cry to the Heavenly Father. Oh, come on here. That all of a sudden will cause heaven to arise and stand to attention. Oh, the devil says, I've got you whooped. I've got you beat. But in the middle of that, if you could just cry and say, oh, God, would you come to where I am? I need revival. I need a help. I need your hand. I need mercy, oh, God. What was it the blind man said, blind Bartimaeus? He heard that Jesus was coming, and he was in the crowd. He couldn't see him, but he heard him coming, and he said, Jesus, thou Son of David, would you have mercy on me? And the crowd said, hush, boy, just be quiet. The Bible said it cried that much more the louder. Jesus, thou Son of David, would you have mercy? That needs to be the cry of you and I today. No matter what, would you have mercy? Oh, God. Oh, God. Amen. Have mercy. Oh, God. Amen. 61st Psalm, verse 1 says, hear my cry, oh, God. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock. It's higher than I. Oh, come on here. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. Oh, hallelujah. I will abide in the tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings, for thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. I'm telling you, we're serving a God that'll come to where you are. Help me, O God. I'm saying he'll come to where you are. Oh, you say no. He'll not turn his attention to me. He will when you cry. I said he will when you cry. When you help me here now. I mean when you say, oh, I went as far as I can go. I've done all that I can do. Now won't you just give it to him? Just give it to him. Amen. Deuteronomy 26 and verse 7. And when we cried unto the Lord, God our fathers, the Lord heard our voices and looked on our affliction and our labor and our oppression. Oh, God. We fail to realize that it still takes a cry. It still takes a cry. I can't tell you what to say when you get down there. I can't tell you what to do. I can't tell you how you need to express it. But I know the Bible speaks of groanings that cannot be uttered. I've got down to pray before. There just wasn't no words. And not because I just came through a sorrowful situation or lost a loved one or whatever. But it was just that I had got down to the place that I just didn't know what to say. You ever been there? I just didn't know what to say. Oh, but then the longer I stayed there, the longer I stayed down, the longer I stayed, it seemed like the groanings just begin to come from somewhere deep inside. I mean, just begin to groan and moan. Amen. Somebody would have said, surely he's dying. Surely he's about to kick the bucket and die. But I mean, oh, just begin to groan. And before long, the Holy Ghost of God's sweet heaven just opened up and poured out on me. And I realized by the time it was all over that God had come to the rescue, and God had mended the broken situation, and God had made it right. Listen, you must understand me here today. I mean, we're serving a God that's God of the universe, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords. He's the God that started this thing. He's going to be the God that finishes this thing, and that's who we need to cry to. I mean, if you're not careful, the devil will say there's no use in crying. He's not going to hear you. But the Bible said his ear was ever turned toward our cry. I mean, let's worship him. Oh, and cry out to God. Hallelujah. And then the Philippian jailer, Acts chapter 16, verse 30, what did he say? What must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved? We're not going to live forever. We're going to die. How many? I'm almost afraid to ask this question. How many, by lifting of your hand, be honest, would say you've had, just out of nowhere, you've had that reality moment? Either you're driving down the road, working on a job, place, whatever, but somewhere it hits you. Man, I'm not going to live forever. I mean, one of these days I'm going to, the last time it's going to be it. And then I'm going to die. I'm not going to be able to wake up in the morning and start my day. I'm not going to be able to finish my day. I'm not going to be able to go throughout my day. I'm not going to be able to see my family, my friends, my loved ones. I'm not going to be able to do this, that, and the other. I'm going to absolutely die. Oh, God. It goes back to man being frail. Man being frail. We cannot make it in this world without God. We cannot make it in this world without God. Oh, God. Amen. What do you do? You say, preacher, what am I supposed to do when the devil's holding me captive? He's holding me down. He's keeping me held down. I'll tell you what he's doing. He's keeping you down with a hollow promise. He's keeping you down with a lie. He's telling you something that's not true. Something that he cannot back up. Come on here. I mean, he's telling you, well, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to help you here. I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to make this happen. He cannot make anything happen. The only thing he's making happen is trouble for your soul. Come on here. That's the only thing that he's making happen. Oh, but what will he do? He'll hold your hand while he drags you through the gutter of sin. That's what he'll do. He'll take you through the low parts of the world and the low things, the vulgar, nasty things of this world. He'll be dragging you through that all the time, telling you, I'm going to make it better. I'm going to make it better. There's not but one thing that'll make your situation better, and that's to cry out to a living God and plead the blood of Jesus Christ upon your situation and let loose of the hands of the devil and grab a hold of the
reaching hand. I mean the hand that will always be there. The hand that will never let you go. I mean hold on to it and cry out to God and He'll pull you out. Can somebody say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. Lord, save me. Lord, save me. Lord, save me. Amen. Luke 18:13, the Bible said, "And the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes into heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Amen. Amen. Listen here. This is for those that says God can't do it. 34 Psalm verse 6. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. All of them. Absolutely every situation, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him. Hallelujah. 3 Psalm verse 4. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and He heard me out of His holy hill. Salah. I'm telling you, God's listening today. God's listening today. I said God's listening today. Oh, don't listen to the lies when the devil said He don't hear you. I'm telling you, He's listening to you. Psalm verse 6. If this is you, won't you lift your hands right here? In my distress, I called upon the Lord, and I cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of His temple, and my cry came before Him, even to His ears. Oh, God, there was something changed. The atmosphere in heaven, when I cried to God, something shook heaven, and somebody said, hey, somebody's in trouble. And God began to look, and His attention was drawn to me, and He came to where I was, and He delivered me out of my trouble. Wherever you are, and wherever God is, He can hear. He can hear. Amen. Last but not least, 34th Psalm, verse 15. This is for those that say God ain't listening. God don't care. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open to their cry. To their cry. Oh, God. I'm going to tell you something. You cry to God, and you get something done. Too many times we go to Him. See, there's nothing wrong with complaining, as long as we do it the right way. When we take our complaints to God, don't go down and complain of Him. Complain to Him. Not of Him, but to Him. That's the difference. Don't get down and say, God, if this hadn't happened and that hadn't happened, and if you hadn't let this happen and you hadn't let that happen and you hadn't allowed this and you this. I'm going to tell you, if you, which you were speaking of as God, hadn't gave you the breath that you got right now, you wouldn't even be saying that prayer. But when you go down, don't complain of Him, complain to Him. And say, oh God, have mercy. Have mercy on me. I'm in trouble. I need the hand of God to come where I'm at. Oh God, this thing's out of my control. Do you realize that's when God can fix it? When you finally realize that you can't do nothing about it? When you finally realize that I can't fix it by myself? It's far more bigger than I can ever imagine. I tried this and tried that and can't put it back together. That's when God will finally put it together. When you cry to Him and say, this is all I've got. Stand with me this morning. Amen. Amen. We must cry to Him. There's many different ways you could preach about crying to God, I guess. And many different ways, and I've heard great messages preached on it. I don't consider being a great preacher, but we're serving a great God. No matter what, where, how, when, He's able. He's able. Put your trust in Him. Put your trust in Him. Some of you here this morning may think, well, I just decided myself to show up. If you want to think that, that's fine. But you're in this tabernacle this morning by divine providence of God. And it's His mercy and grace that brought you here. And I feel like you need to cry out to God. I feel like you need to cry out to God. I'm doing just fine, preacher. You might be. I might have totally missed it today. I might have totally just went the wrong direction. I don't know. I don't feel like it, but you want your home back together? Want your family back together? You want peace under one roof? You got to cry to God. That's the only way. That's the only way. It's the only way. There's a lot of things I can't explain in this world. A lot of things, obviously. Why this happens, why that happens. This trouble, that trouble, this situation, that situation. I can't explain it. And I'm not real smart, but there's one thing I can't explain. That if you cry to Him, He's listening. He's listening. He's listening. Amen. Amen. Can't you just imagine the devil devising a big plan to take you out? He's got it all figured out how he's going to ruin your soul. And he's talking about it and telling all of his little demons about it. And he said, now this is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to bring them down. This is how we're going to get them. And right in the middle of that big explanation, he says, hey, wait a minute. What's that I hear? What is that? What is that? Somebody listen. And everybody stops and they begin to listen. And it's that very soul. It's that very individual that they were trying to devise a plan against to bring him down. It's that very soul. Oh, God, help us. On their knees somewhere, crying out to God. And he has to back up and he says, well, I just really have to put this plan on hold for right now. I just really got to back up just a little bit because they're crying out to God. And ain't a thing I can do about it when they cry out to God, when they plead the blood of Jesus Christ. I can't get near that. I cannot cross the bloodline. So cry out to God.